custom, crisis, or curiosity, as we say, please know that you are welcome here. We pray that you feel God's presence here, and may you find peace with yourself, with God, and with the world this day. If you are a newcomer, we have a brochure, which I didn't bring up, but I'm part of the welcome team, and I will see that you get one, and we want to make special welcome for those of you who are new to us. We have yellow slips that are inside your bulletin, and there are two things. On one side, we'd like for you to leave your name, and if you're new, contact information, if you don't mind. We would love to have that. And then on the flip side, if you're interested in sharing a prayer request, please fill that out. If you do have the prayer request, the ushers will pick that up during the service. And if not, then hang on to your yellow slip and drop it in the offering plate, if you will. Our worship service is abbreviated in the bulletin, but it will be up on the screen. And the full text is available for smartphones with the QR code at the bottom of the backside of the bulletin. There are restrooms and childcare out through this door. Through either door, you can get to the gathering room, which is right behind us, for some fellowship and maybe a little coffee after church. And a reminder that we have a safe sanctuary policy here, so children should always be accompanied by an adult. This is a very active church, and part of our discipleship is learning and growing in the faith, so I want to lift up just a couple of things that are in the bulletin that might help your spiritual development or learning. On Wednesday night, there's a teach-in here. It is about opioids and other addictive drugs. Sounds very interesting. We have two guests coming. That's on the back side of your bulletin at snacks at 6:30 and the program at 7 on Wednesday. Next Sunday, children, what's going to happen at 9:30 next Sunday? Does anybody know? Sunday school starts again, and it's actually not just for children. Tom Bowl will be leading a book discussion group on the book Born a Crime by Trevor North. So there are classes for all ages at 9:30 next Sunday, another opportunity to grow and learn. And then next week, Sunday night, we are starting a fast-track Old Testament Bible study at 6 o'clock to 7:30. If you're like me, you don't know if you can make everyone, but I'm sure going to try. So please come join us next Sunday at 6:30. And there are many other things that this church is doing in mission and ministry in this neighborhood and around the world that I would call your attention to that are in the bulletin. And now, let us continue our worship.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Alicia. I am honored to say that I am the pastor here at University United Methodist Church. And I wanted to send out a warm welcome to each and every one of you here. Welcome. Well, there's a lot of stuff up here, and we're going to talk about why that is a little later. More. Like skyscrapers that begin to loom over us and cast a shadow below. Our quest for more power, prestige, wealth, and domination have created a culture of obsessive not enoughness. We are overloaded, overworked, and overstressed. Our perspective of how much we actually have is skewed by the immensity of images of what we ought to have. In this first week of our series, we begin to confront the myth of scarcity and focus on abundance. Our theme song is You Are Mine, and Amy will sing this for us once, and then we'll sing it all together as a congregation.
Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me.
Please stand.
Do not be afraid. God is with us. Good morning. My name is Beth Drew, and I am the liturgist this morning. We are indeed chosen and redeemed, and we are standing in body and spirit as we join together in the call to worship. Attention, all you spiritual shoppers. There are no discounts, no sale prices, no 50% off summer specials, no bonus miles, no pre-inventory clearance or back-to-school savings. There are no shortcuts to faith, no money-back guarantees, no lifetime warranties, or last-minute deals. Every minute is your last. If you want a God-soaked life, move to the margins, plant sequoias, find an eroded field, and stake your soul on its reclamation. Synchronize your hope to an abandoned child's heartbeat. Set your sights on the interest from millennial investments. Say o'er the clamor of all merchandising madness, life is not had by what is possessed, but only by what has been promised. And please remain standing. Wow. Life is not had by what is possessed, but only by what is promised. What does it mean to take hold of that promise? The prophet Micah's words echo down through history. Do justly, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. I'm going to step outside my box a little bit and just share with you my grandson's vacation Bible school chant was, do good, seek peace, get out there. And that goes right along with it. So please join me in singing, How Shall I Come Before the Lord? John Wesley reminded us that God created us to be relational beings. Take a moment and greet those around you with the peace of Christ, and when the music comes,
It's time for children to come down front to be with Pastor Alicia and for us to return to our seats. So welcome each other.
Will the children join me as they're ready? Good morning, children. Are there more children that maybe didn't hear me say, come on forward if you're able and you're ready? All right. Well, I guess we haven't seen each other in a while. We didn't want to stop talking and greeting one another. And know that we always have more time to talk and get to know one another after worship because we always have coffee and water and we usually have snacks. I know for sure we have snacks today. In right behind here in this room, there's a fellowship, or what is it called? It's called the gathering room, and we can gather there. Okay, so I'm going to turn my attention to the children. What do you see behind us? What is all this stuff? What do you see? Let me get the microphone so we can hear what you have to say. What do you see up here? What do you see?
Empty boxes.
Okay, well, we're going to pretend they're full. We have full boxes. What else do we see? Do we see any? And all the way across, what do we see all the way? What do you see? What do you see?
Briefcase.
You see a briefcase? Okay. I see a briefcase and maybe a suitcase. Yeah. What else do we see? Do we see anything else up there? All kinds. Yeah.
Boxes full of stuff so they can move.
Oh, boxes full of stuff so we can move. Interesting. Interesting. Anything else? I think Stella and I are familiar with moving because you moved 2 years ago and I moved 1 year ago, right? So we recognize the boxes of stuff when we have to move. Do we see anything else? All right, so up here we have all the things you mentioned. We have boxes full of stuff. We have boxes so we can move. We have suitcases over here. Usually when we have a suitcase packed, we're going somewhere, right? So we have all this stuff up here. And so our theme for the next 4 weeks is called Moving Out of Scare City. And Scare City can be scary and then city, but it's Scare City, meaning and the play on the words is scarcity. Does anyone know what scarcity is? Not scare city, but scarcity. You think, okay, let's hear. What do you think?
When you're scared.
When you're scared of, do you know what you might be scared of?
Monsters?
No, close. You're so close. I'm glad you tried. That's good. So scarcity means you're afraid that you don't have enough. And so we have all this stuff up here to show how we probably have all this stuff and we have enough. And when we trust in God, God is with us, whether we have enough physical stuff or don't have enough physical stuff. God is always with us, so we don't have to be scared because God is always with us. All right, so we are talking about moving out of scarcity. So that's why we have all our boxes ready to move, our suitcases ready to go, and we're going to be talking about that for the next 4 weeks. Will you pray with me? I'm wondering, does anyone here want to pray? Does anyone here want to pray for us instead of me praying? Do you want to? No, okay. All right, will you pray with me? Loving God, I am so grateful, and we are so grateful for these children, that they are brave enough to come up here, brave enough to talk to me, and brave enough to talk in front of all these people. I am grateful, we are grateful for their love and their faith in what is to come next. And that they are able to see that we have full boxes and that we have luggage and that that means something and that we're going to trust in you to teach us what that means. We are going to be grateful and we are going to try really hard to think of the abundance that we have as we go through the next 4 weeks and beyond. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming up and talking with me, and you can go sit with whoever brought you, okay? And next week at 9:30 a.m. is what? Sunday school, that's right. And we have bagels at 9, so you can get a bagel at 9, you can go to Sunday school at 9:30, and then come here at 10:30. Okay, well, thank you for coming up. You can go sit with whoever brought you.
If someone or something or somewhere is in your heart today and you would like your prayer read as a part of worship, you can pass your prayer slip into the ushers as they walk down the aisle. We are going to now enter into our prayer time learning the Taizeh hymn, Nothing Can Trouble. Amy, our choir director, will lead us. This hymn uses the words of St. Teresa de Avila from the 1500s.
Dennis and I are going to sing and play through this once for you so you can hear the whole song, and then I will sing a short phrase and I'll have you echo a short phrase indicated by my arms.
Nothing can frighten those who seek God, will never go haunting. Nothing can trouble, nothing can frighten. God alone fills us.
So here we go. I'll go first, then you can repeat. Can I have that E, please?
Nothing can trouble, nothing can frighten, nothing can trouble, nothing can frighten. Those who seek God shall never go haunting, those who seek God shall never go haunting. Nothing can trouble, nothing.
Let's sing the whole piece all together.
Nothing can trouble, nothing can frighten. Those who seek God shall never go haunting. Nothing can trouble, nothing can frighten. Those who
So we will sing that song as we enter a time of prayer for the next 4 weeks. And let's hear our prayers and know our hearts as we strive to live our lives after the model of Jesus. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We will have a period of silent prayer, followed by a short spoken prayer, and finally, the Lord's Prayer. Please speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or whatever language that helps you feel closest to God. And as we begin a time of silent prayer, get comfortable. Get comfortable in your seat. Breathe in. Allow the Spirit to fill your consciousness as we together open our hearts to God. Let us pray. Beloved God, we come here this morning with an entirely different feeling on our skin. We have gone through a week of very close, in fact, very uncomfortable heat. Heat that was oppressive to some and dangerous to some. And we don't even know what that heat did to mood and morale and behavior. And this morning, it is cool. So let us breathe. Breathe. Breathe the fresh air that comes with the cooler temp this morning. And yet, it's a change. And our brains and our hearts know it's a change. And we puzzle over that. And we wonder, God, what does it mean? Have we contributed to it? Do we contribute to it daily? Is this our future, or is this just a fluke? We don't know for sure, but we pray, God, that as we love this earth and this climate, we be stewards of it in your name. We also, along with many people, are thinking of the anniversary of a very important day in American history, and that would be the day of September 11th, 2001, the 17th anniversary, falling in fact this year as it did that year on a Tuesday morning. And we think of the terror that was felt, and we think of the lives that were lost, some even related to this congregation. And we know how devastatingly frightening it must have been to the people in New York City and to the people in America. But how has that fear lived for all of us? What has that fear meant for all of us? Can we live in peace, or have we created a very present sense of other that frightens us and that keeps us from moving forward? So let us think today with respect to those who lost their lives, with regard to the guardedness that we all need to feel, and yet the openness that we must maintain to make our world a peaceful place. We also pray, as was named in the prayer request, because today is the beginning, tonight is the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, a time for our Jewish friends to celebrate a new year. And so we pray with them this morning, God, saying, Lashana Tova, to a good year, to a good year to all. We pray for those named this morning, for health concerns, life concerns, joys, celebrations. And we raise our voices together as we pray the Lord's Prayer, saying, Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Forever. Forever. That's how long God is with us. Please stand in body or in spirit and join me in singing hymn number 130, God Will Take Care of You. Please rise. Please be seated. Our scripture this morning is the well-known story of the Tower of Babel and humanity's effort to make themselves famous. I will be reading from the 11th chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 9. And you can follow along if you'd like to, or read further on page 11 of the Old Testament in your pew Bible. Then they said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower that reaches heaven. Let's make ourselves famous so we won't be scattered here and there across the earth." God came down to look over the city and the tower those people had built. God took one look and said, "One people, one language. Why, this is only a first step. No telling what they'll come up with next. They'll stop at nothing. Come, we'll go down and garble their speech so they won't understand each other." And then God scattered them all over the world, and they had to stop building the city. That's how it came to be called Babel, because God turned their language into Babel. This is the word of God for the people of God. This morning, as we contemplate how much is enough, John Vandalar's poem, Enough, offers an answer of faith. Worry and stress are not hard for us, God. We do them without thinking. We won't go there. There is always the potential of threat to our security, our comfort, our health, our relationships, our lives. And we foolishly think that we could silence the fear if we just had enough money, enough insurance, enough toys, enough stored away for a rainy day. It's never enough, though. The voice of our fear will not be dismissed so easily. But in the small, silent places within us is another voice, one that beckons us into the foolishness of faith, that points our gaze to the birds and the flowers, that in unguarded moments lets our muscles relax and our hearts lean into loved ones. In unexpected whispers, we hear it, calling us to remember your promises, your grace, your faithfulness. And suddenly, we discover that it is enough. Amen.
Good morning again. It feels like we haven't talked like this in a while. It feels like the last few days or last few Sundays we've had a different way of doing the message time. So today begins our stewardship campaign. This is starting early this year because we are linked with other United Methodist churches, and we have to put our budget together to put together with their budget. So we're starting this a little earlier than in years past. I pray that we get more out of this campaign and worship series, moving out of scare city, than dollars and cents. We have intentionally planned to reflect on the current ministries and theologies behind our ministries that happen because of this congregation's generosity. Our scripture today is about the Tower of Babel. It read, "Then they said, 'Come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower that reaches heaven. Let's make ourselves famous so we won't be scattered around here and there across the earth.' Humanity throughout time is always wanting more. Many people on Twitter and YouTube seem to want more attention, more acknowledgement, more fame. The Kardashians and those who follow them want more fame, more stuff, more money. Reality TV that is not so real seems to want chaos and fame. How do we get out of this cycle? How do we realize when enough is enough? It may be in knowing that God, God's grace, and God's faithfulness is enough. Abundance comes to us in gratitude in what we have, especially the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. One of the resources in our series included the article written by Bruce Epperly around Thanksgiving, and it shares the story behind this hymn, the closing hymn that we'll sing today, Now Thank We All Our God. And you know what? I know that I'm going to say the name of this town wrong, and I know you all are going to correct me, and I'm okay with that. So here we go. Many Americans are struggling. This is Bruce Epperly's words. Many Americans are struggling to find a spirit of thankfulness this year. Many of us are worried about finances and unemployment, underemployment, unsuccessful job searches, housing, shrinking bank accounts, and maybe even retirement plans. Gratitude is seldom without challenges. German mystic Meister Eckhart asserted that if the only prayer you could make is thank you, that will suffice. And this is Bruce's, that wrote this, his words. My favorite Thanksgiving hymn is Now Thank We All Our God, written by Martin Rankart, a Protestant pastor in Eilenburg, Saxony. How did I do? Okay. During the 30 Years' War. Times were harsh as Protestants and Catholics killed one another over issues of faith and politics and control. Eilenburg was a refuge for religious refugees, many of whom brought with them pestilence and plague that ravaged the town. During this difficult time, the lone surviving pastor, Rinkart, who presided over nearly 4,500 funerals, including his own wife's, was inspired to write the hymn by reading the words in Sirach 50. And I'll just read one line. And now bless the God of all, whom in every way does great things. You might be asking, how could he, after so many funerals and deaths, how could he write such a hymn? Well, this is no Pollyanna, praise the Lord, anyway, prayer of thanksgiving. Nor is it a denial of life's challenges. It is an acknowledgement that God's providence gently moves through our lives despite our current circumstances. Thanksgiving, or giving thanks, is a virtue of interconnectedness, reminding us that none of us stands alone. Rich and poor alike, job creators and job applicants depend on countless forces for their well-being and good fortune. When we are grateful, we discover that we are never alone and that possibilities and the energy to embody them are constantly flowing through our lives. Gratitude reminds us that even our scarcity, we can experience love, beauty, wonder, and creativity. Today, many congregations and people are living by scarcity. Like Peter, they are ready to give up after a night of unsuccessful fishing. But their scarcity is transformed into abundance when they trust God and launch out into deeper waters. A catch beyond their imagination awaits those who commit themselves to living by abundance in a world of scarcity. A boy brings 5 loaves and 2 fishes, hardly enough to feed a growing child, but his generosity inspires the generosity of others and creates a field force in which a real meal feeds a multitude. Miracles or acts of power emerge when we trust God's abundance and share our resources in time, talent, and treasure, however limited, with others. There is a deeper realism that inspires gratitude and generosity. Yes, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's a concrete reality. Recognizing our current bottom line is essential to economic well-being. But the deeper realism sees the possibilities hidden in the limits of life and opens a door to unexpected transformational energies. It lives by generosity and prudent risk-taking rather than fearful self-interest and hoarding. For example, what happens in and with this church community is so important for one person in our congregation that this person pledges 50 cents a week. When this person does not have 50 cents, this person collects bottles and cans to make up the difference. It's not about the amount. It's about the amount one can give to make a difference in both their lives as generous givers and this external way of gratitude to all God has abundantly shared with this person. And I ask, how can I give like that? I'll end with this quote that you found inside your bulletin. You all got a card, and you're going to get a card every week this month. And Angela, can you hold that up so everyone can see what we're talking about? That card, it says, "What screws us up most in life is the picture in our heads of how it's supposed to be. Our lives may not be what we thought they would be. We don't have to build the Tower of Babel to get to heaven, because I'm sure we have much to be grateful for when we rediscover God is with us, right here, wherever we are, and wherever we go. This year, let's share in this spirit of gratitude. Amen." And so I introduce to you 2 people who can come forward at the same time, Nelson Price and Robert Simmons. And Nelson is going to introduce us to some things, and then Robert's going to share from his experience. And Robert, why don't we sit together?
I've been a member of University Church for 22 years. It's kind of hard to believe. But I choose to be here, as you choose to be here, among the many, many options that we have to be someplace else, in church, on the golf course, wherever. So I want to give you a preview of what's coming up in the next 4 weeks. It's that time again when we look at what our financial resources are going to be for 2019 and what our talent resources are going to be for 2019. Our themes for this coming 4 weeks are sharing our abundance and sharing our personal gifts. You'll be hearing about our 10-10-10 goals. You'll have an opportunity to hear in-depth reports and to ask questions at a potluck on April 23rd. So put that down in your calendar. After church, April 23. And you'll hear from church members on how they chose UUMC and why they're here. And our first is Robert Simmons.
It's September 23rd.
Oh, it's September 23rd. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate getting straightened out there. So that shows you how Robert can keep us on track. And he's one of the leaders of our pantry.
I think everybody here knows me, and if you haven't met me yet, you will. Most people know me by my title. It's pretty simple. Chief Troublemaker. It's in the book, I swear. All right, I've been here 6 years. When I first came, I came for the coffee. It was more the coffee hour and socializing, but that's what it was. Got away with that line for 3 weeks. But what I found was the opportunity to share my faith in word and deed with like-minded folks. And I found there was ways that I could contribute, which I most certainly have, I think, made a dent. And I also found acceptance for all that I am, good, bad, and indifferent, with a dents and all. And I appreciate every one of you for giving me the opportunity to come and share my unique values and gifts. Thanks.
Thanks, Robert and Nelson. Committed people have been worshiping in this church, not the exact same building, but this corner, for 150 years. You are now a part of that living tradition. We are thankful for those whose faith was enough to lay the cornerstone and make that commitment, and we would like to commit ourselves to sustaining their mission. If you're a first-time visitor here today, we don't expect a donation from you. You are our guest. But we do have a habit of contributing, and for those who do contribute, the ushers will be coming up with a collection plate. This is for whatever financial contribution you want to make, and also a time to put in your attendance slip, which is on the flip side of those yellow prayer slips. It also is a time where we can think about the abundance in our world by listening to the beautiful music. I know we said it in the prayer request already, but our choir is back for a new year. We thank you for that. And we can now think about the abundance we have as our returning choir sings for the beauty of the earth.
Joy of human hope.
Standing, and let us pray together the unison prayer of dedication. O Holy One, we come today to claim our relationship with you. We pray for the commitment to grow together, sharing the gifts you give us with others, here and in the wider world. Give us strength and discipline to nurture our relationship with you, and to respond joyfully when you call, freely giving ourselves as you have shown the way. We open our hearts to you and your creation in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Hearing the story as we did this morning behind the hymn makes a huge difference as we reflect on the words. So, would you please remain standing and sing hymn number 102, Now Thank We All Our God.
Please be seated. We have something special real quick before the benediction, and I'm going to ask Anthony to come over. Do you want to use this? Okay.
Thank you, Robbie.
You're welcome.
Good morning to all. Good morning to my invitees. I want to thank each and every one of y'all for coming here and making my day a special one. What I'm about to do here is was going to be very, very, you know, surprising, but it's not. I will let y'all know before so that when y'all hear it somewhere, so it will be that yes to us. I will call upon my wife, Evelyn. Evelyn is the one. And we've been together for a very long time. We suffered together. Because I wanted to do it in secret, but it's no more secret again. Because the person that I paid to do the ring went ahead and told her. So I will call my wife here before all of y'all, and I will ask her to marry me. Evelyn, will you please come before these people? Evelyn, I will say this to you. You know me more than I know myself. We have come a long way. And if it will be someone, that someone must be you. So, Evelyn, I will go on my knee and ask you to please accept this ring. Allow me put this ring on your finger as mine. Wedding wife. So, Evelyn, on my knee, will you please give me your hand? Thank you. Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
Yes.
All right. So, with that excitement and joy, go into your week with your ears pitched to the sound of God's voice calling your name. Go into your week with your eyes peeled for the face of Jesus in unexpected places. Go into your week with your soul poised to receive the Spirit of God, the Spirit of peace. Amen.